This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, a podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We have a guest with us today, and this is an old friend from a number of years ago. We used to do community theater here at our local theater, Elkhart Civic Theater. Back then, we knew him as Michael Natoli. He has since moved to Chicago and has gone professional, is a professional actor in Chicago. Miguel Nunez, welcome, Miguel.
Hi.
I'm going to have to get used to saying Miguel. I'm not used to that either. But Miguel, your background is pretty interesting. You were you really come from originally Caracas, Venezuela.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what your route to getting to the U.S. and, well, for starters, Bristol, Indiana, and then on to Chicago was.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually born in the States. I was born in Miami. My mother, she's an American. She was born in America as well. But my father was Venezuelan. Mm-hmm. So they met and they got married in Venezuela. They decided to come back to the States just to give it a shot. And I actually was almost born in Elkhart because at that point, my aunt and my mother's sister was living in Elkhart. And when my mother was pregnant, they were there and they almost just – for like, I think it was for about a month difference that I was almost born in Elkhart. But then they moved to Miami and I was born there. And we lived there for about 2 years. So as I am told, I think when I was about 2 years old or 2.5, we moved back to Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Then I spent there the next 20 years. I went
to school there,
went to high school, college, everything. And then in 2001, that's when we made the choice to move back to the States just to, again, change scenery and try here, you know?
That's right. Well, your father was an actor as well, right?
My father, yes. He did a little bit of everything. He wrote plays. He was a musician. He did some theater in Venezuela. And fortunately, I come from my father's side of the family. It's a very artistic family. They're all musicians. I am the only one who actually does theater now,
mm-hmm.
who's an actor.
Right.
And then we end up in Elkhart because when we decided to move back to the States, we needed somewhere where family, you know, like arrive to someone. And at that point, my aunt and uncle were living in Elkhart. I had no idea about anything about Indiana. I only knew that it was near Chicago. That's all. My goal was to.
That's a good selling point for Indiana,
right? My ideal was that, you know, I'm going to move to the States and I'm going to go to Broadway and I'm going to make it in about a year. That's a good way to take. And I was very set in my ways.
Right.
But you know, things don't happen that way.
Well, it takes a lot more work and more time than anybody really realizes at first. But you were here and you did a number of musicals. You were in a play that I directed, an Agatha Christie murder mystery with a Venezuelan accent, believe it or not. And then you also did some other things. You also worked with another local theater group that's nearby here, New World Arts, and then what was it that finally, like, when did you decide to move to Chicago? What was the reasoning and the timing? How did that work?
Well, I have to say that doing plays, starting to work with Elkhart Civic Theater was the best thing that could happen to me, because when I moved here, my accent was so thick and my English was so basic that mm-hmm. there was no way I could have tried to do anything without, you know, learning more. And I always say here in Chicago that one of my best schools was doing plays there at Elkhart Civic Theater because I had to relearn. How to work. I had to relearn how to work in English because all my whole life I have just done work in Spanish. So it's a different way of thinking, you know, approaching the text, everything. So for me, learning to do plays in English and also doing musical theater, which I had never, ever done.
Mm-hmm. And you were great at it.
Oh, yeah, it was so much fun. And it was great. I mean, it was great to see also the a different way of working. Yeah, I worked with the Newer Arts for a couple of years as well. And I don't know, I think it was just the right timing. I had to make a choice. I had a very comfortable job when I lived in Elkhart. But I always had that part of me that wanted more, that I needed, that I said I have a goal, and I moved here for a reason. So it was, you know, I had the idea, and I kind of forced myself, quit my job, got a server job, and put myself in a situation that I was like, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it.
Right. So, I see you went to Chicago, and then, it looks like most recently you did a production of The Three Musketeers.
Yes.
Yes, and I saw your name in the review, in Chris Jones's review on that in the Chicago Trib, about 3-4 weeks ago. That's over now, right?
That closed a week ago.
Yeah.
Last Sunday.
Yeah. So and then you've done some other things. You were in Oedipus El Rey. I'm just looking at this, and suddenly I realized wasn't that about gangs and things like that?
Yes, that was an adaptation from Luis Alfaro. Mm-hmm. He did an adaptation of Oedipus Rex set in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
with all the L.A. gangs. And it was a tremendous production. It was last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an understudy for one of the main actors. And I was fortunate enough to be able to go on and perform.
Right. And Chris Jones, I think, again, because we've had Chris Jones on this show. And so I just kind of started reading his reviews. And he had some good things to say. He wrote an article about that show, along with another one talking about dealing with violence in cities. And does theater have a role in maybe, trying to build understanding and things like that. So it's kind of neat that you were involved in that. So, but that kind of takes us to the whole idea of playing, doing theater as a Latino.
Yeah.
and doing Latino theater in Chicago. What's the Latino theater scene in Chicago generally?
Well, sorry. There is a couple of companies in the city that do work only in Spanish. One of them is Teatro Aguijón.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been around forever. I think it's for 20-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And they are set in I can't remember the name of the neighborhood, but it's in the west side of the city. And they do work strictly in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
You know, their goal is to please this part of the community, and they have a very strong following. I've been able to work with them like once.
Right.
And I believe there's another new company that the name escapes me right now. Colectivo El Pozo is a fairly new company as well, that they're focusing on doing just work in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's a couple more like comedy groups.
Right, right.
Just like that they do work only Spanish. But there is also a certain couple of other companies. They are Latino. Most of the members are Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to do – sorry. And they like – that's my cell phone. And they like to do work that is for the Latino community, Latino playwrights. They try to use mostly Latino actors.
Right.
There's Teatro Vista, which is a very successful and a very old theater company, and I believe it's the biggest professional Latino theater company in the Midwest, and they do tremendous work.
What do you think is important about those groups in terms of, I mean, as opposed to what is kind of the traditional, American theater? What does the Latino theater kind of bring to the whole scene in terms of, you know, themes or, you know, exploration of ideas or social issues or things like that? How is that different?
Well, I think the main thing is that it brings diversity because, and you know, to be honest, and I don't want to sound crass, but theater, most theater in the United States, it's about, you know, white stories told by white people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that that's what this country is about, the majority. And but it's become very same when it comes to that. You know, like a lot of the productions are done are stories about Caucasian families going to certain things, and most of the actors involved are the same. So, you know, it's a lot of sameness. And I think bringing stories by what is, you know, technically called minorities, which soon is not going to be called minorities anymore, brings a new flavor. We have a, you know, rich heritage to share.
Right.
And I'm talking not only about Latinos, but I'm talking about, you know, Asian Americans, you know, African Americans, the people from the Middle East, Latinos, everything. There's tons of stories. There's a whole different level of culture and flavor that it's necessary because we live in a multicultural world. And if you believe that theater is a mirror of our world, it should be. It showed everything, you know.
Well, how much crossover are you seeing? I mean, in terms of, well, I'm not so much crossover, but mixture of the, you know, for lack of a better word, the Hispanic, Latino, non-Latino. Are they intermingling in terms of the art form itself?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. You know, and thankfully, Chicago is a very open community, and there is not. You know, there's not like, oh, there's the Latino actors, and there's the African-American actor and the white actor. Not at all. I know we are a very close-knit community. And I have to say, I'm a very positive thinker. I know there's people that don't believe it, but I think in the last in the last 2 years, now when it comes to this subject specifically, in the last 2 years, there's been a change. And a lot of companies are making a strong effort, whether it's to prove a point or to say they're into the whole thing, to cast, not colorblind, I don't like to use that, but to cast more diverse. And they do play, mm-hmm. there are traditionally done by a mostly white cast. They like to do it now, think, you know what, like for example, the Three Musketeers that I just did. If you go to the website of Lifeline and look at the bio, all the characters, all the actors were played by just, you know, we had African Americans, mm-hmm. Hispanics, Asians, and Caucasians playing all the different roles.
Right.
And I think that's wonderful. And a lot of companies are doing that. I've been fortunate enough to be part of a couple of productions where that happens. And the point being, they said they do it just because they want to show how the world really is, how Chicago is. Not Chicago.
Yeah, sure. It's city. Right. It's
kind of silly to put just.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you force that kind of thing into a play, but you can do it unselfconsciously and just use the best performers that are there and aim for that. I think it works very well.
Yeah.
Miguel.
Sometimes it just doesn't work, you know? I also think that. Some stories need to they're written specifically for certain type of actors, and that's fine.
Right.
But I also think that a lot of characters are just that, are characters, and you should cast the best performer for that.
Right. Yeah.
Miguel, are you finding that the Latino theaters are working mostly with original works, or are they able to purchase scripts from the major playhouses?
You know, a lot of the Latino companies, especially here in Chicago, they do original work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because again, unfortunately, there's not a lot.
Right, right.
Well, not unless you go back a ways, you know. Dorca wrote a lot of great Spanish stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they don't do it very often. In first place, it's really heavy and mm-hmm. kind of everybody dies kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they're beautiful plays, but I don't recall seeing them or hearing of them being done anywhere around here recently.
Right. Now, do shows come from, well, for example, your adopted home country, I guess I would say, of Venezuela. I mean, are there plays from Venezuela that would come up and translate well into this arena?
I think there are. I've actually, but they're not being produced at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually done some research because I would love to see some plays produced here, but some of them are not translated. A lot of the work is not translated. Some of the work that is translated, I'm not very interested in. And I was in talks with some people that I still know in Venezuela that are involved in the theater scene. Wow, translating it is such a daunting task.
Right, right.
Yeah. I tried to think about doing it, and it just overwhelmed me.
Right. Yeah. What about now, you're talking about diversity in your casting and things like that, but also, you know, for Latino theater, how diverse is the audience? Is that becoming more and more mixed? More interest from non-Latinos in Latino theater?
You know what? It is becoming more mixed, I think. What I'm told that years ago, it was very niche. You know, it was just like,
right,
we're doing this type of theater and only invite people that is, you know, Hispanic, and they're only going to understand the stories, you know, because that's how they're related. But what I've seen, what I've experienced, what I try to do is just believe that, you know, if you come to see a play, it's just about the stories, about the experience.
Right.
And hopefully you're seeing something new and something that is maybe uncomfortable for you or indifferent. And if I'm able to show you that, that's great. And I've seen a lot of the plays that I've done that at the end, you know, when you get out to the lobby, the audience members, it's very diverse. And some people take it as in, wow, this is such a cool new experience. Other people, it's just about, you know, I like the story and I wanted to see it. And then some people as well, they don't understand. They're like, well, I just didn't get it because it's nothing that I can relate to. And that's right. Okay. But, well, but yeah, I think, and I think that the Chicago audience members are very open for new things.
I was going to say it takes a large population base like a Chicago to really support and really to kind of build a broader audience other than just the strict, you know, the strict ethnic confines in order to get people from outside of that to come. You know, you won't accomplish that as much as you loved the Bristol Opera House, Miguel. You probably wouldn't have been able to do that here just on the basis mostly of population base, although we do have a lot of Spanish speakers in this area.
Well, and I think, I know of another local community theater that has specifically been doing or trying to do one African-American play a year and one Latin-American play a year in an attempt to bring not only those actors into the building, but to show those in different viewpoints to the audiences, you know, like Miguel was talking about.
So, so baby steps in this kind of community, I guess, maybe a little bit. But in Chicago,
that's, you know, as long as those steps are being made, that's the important thing.
Sure.
That's right.
Well, and I think for us, your comments about just diversity in general and how our stage should be a representation of the community, you know, Asian American, Latin American, African American, it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, whoever's the best for the role. You know, I'm not necessarily going to say that in The Diary of Anne Frank, it can be that way.
No.
I mean, that's a historic, we've talked about that. Historical drama may be a little bit different. And yet almost any play or musical now can be, you know.
What's next for you, Michael or Miguel? Michael, Miguel.
Watch it.
I, by the way, I had a friend here in Chicago when I was doing theater with a company, Redmond Theater, that he would call me Michael Miguel because...
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you know, I'm just going to call you Michael Miguel. I just don't understand.
Right. But,
what's next for me? I am going to be doing I'm going to be working with a company called 16th Street Theater, which is a theater company in Berwyn.
Okay.
And they've been... You know, this is a good example. Ann Filmer, who is the artistic director... She opened this theater company like 7 years ago, and it's a heavily Hispanic community over there. So she's made a point of doing a lot of work that reflects that community. So I'm going to be doing a play called Pinkolandia.
Okay,
and
cool.
It's a new work that I think it premiered in New York this summer, and it's going to be performed in, I believe, it's 4 or 3 different cities all around the country at different times. And the final production will be done in Chicago. So I'm going to be doing that next year in the play opens in April, I believe.
Okay. So and you're starting rehearsals on that, what, the first of the year or something?
I think it's February, March.
Yeah.
And how's your movie doing? I saw the trailer. It looks hysterical.
Well, that one's already done. That's all. And now we're shooting. It was a short film. And then it turned out really well. And we're waiting to, you know, submit it to certain festivals. But now I'm shooting a new one called Lex. It's kind of like a spin-off, but based on my character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we started shooting last week. We're shooting.
Okay, now is this web films going on the web?
No, these are they're films that are to be shown in festivals. We're just waiting on what the director's going to do. Hopefully, you know, I'm actually one to start showing this movie.
Yeah.
Well, you did a web series here recently too. Yes. It was on your bio. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was working with you guys know The Onion, the newspaper.
Yeah. Right, right.
So they said based now they were based in New York for a couple of years. Now they moved the whole production group to Chicago. So they've been doing it for the last couple of years, I think. They had for a while the Onion News on TV and IFC.
Yeah, right.
But now they do everything online. They have their own YouTube channel.
Right,
YouTube channel, and they employ a lot of actors, a Chicago actor, which is great, to produce, you know, web series, little snippets here and there. And I was part of an episode of one of the web series called Porking Across America.
Uh-huh.
It was great. Okay. Some of this man, if you can see it, it's so wrong.
And it's on the Onion YouTube channel?
It's on the Onion YouTube channel.
Okay.
Porking Across America, and I am in the third episode.
Okay, what? Let me ask you something else. Now, where are you working? When you're not doing anything else, if somebody wants to come in and buy a drink from you, where are they going to be? Where are you going to be?
Well, a little self-plug here. It's called Crosby's Kitchen, and it's an American bistro-style restaurant, and it's on Lakeview on Southport and Cornelia.
Southport and Cornelius in Chicago, Lakeview area, neighborhood of Chicago. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah, it was so funny. I should mention this. After not seeing Miguel for at least a year, 2 years or something like that, I was walked into a bar in a restaurant in Chicago with my brother, and you were the head waiter there or something. Yeah. And then you seated us, and it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're thin. And it was one of those small world kind of things, and then my family got to know you a little bit too, so that's very cool. So yes, it is a small world. We're glad to have you with us, and good luck in the future on everything that you're getting ready to do, and we'll keep an eye on you.
Yeah, and you should keep us in the loop of what you're doing and where you're doing it.
In the loop, that's right.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. so that no we can intended. Pass that along, because people go up to Chicago all the time, and they always are much more apt to go see something that has a familiar face in the cast.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Just keep us. You know where to reach us. We're at the Bristol
Absolutely.
Opera House here.
All right.
So.
Anyway, well, thanks for joining us, Miguel. We're going to wrap up here. Remember that you can listen to Theater Geeks at the website at theatergeeks.com, on iTunes, Stitcher On Demand Radio, TuneIn Radio, and, of course, at the Blueberry Network at blueberry.com. That's blueberry
with
no E's in it, .com, or on your favorite podcatcher app. And be sure to stop by our online store where, Miguel, you'll be interested in this. You can stock up on geek gear such as hats, cups, mugs, teddy bears, t-shirts, and sweatshirts, all sorts of imprinted items, including Marsha's favorite. What is your favorite on the store?
Teddy bears.
She likes the teddy bear.
Coffee mugs.
And the coffee mugs.
But Miguel, you know you can get your friend's underwear on that.
There you go.
As well.
Yes, underwear online.
Pay no attention to that.
All right. Okay, that's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
I'm Marsha Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Bye-bye, Miguel.
Bye, thank you.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.